This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
I haven't been too good for the last 2 days, and so my voice, hope it lasts out for the next few minutes. Pam's just been saying that during November we've been thinking particularly about getting to know what we call the Word of God better. And the passage that has just been read to us, we looked at a couple of years ago and I spoke on it. And as I was looking back to that, I thought, so I'll look at this from a slightly different angle this morning. In fact, I think I concentrated towards the end of the passage last time, and I want to think about more at the beginning of the words this time. And so I suppose my question this morning is this: do we learn more from the Word of God, which we call the Bible, or from Christians who inspire us? Do we learn more from the Word of God, or from Christians or people that inspire us? I suppose it's not really a fair question, because both are true. But I tend to think that we put most of the emphasis on the first part, about learning from the Word of God. Of course, you can't fault that. But we're also to learn a great deal and be inspired by the lives of those people who are being changed by Jesus Christ. I think that what's very common these days is that we say something like this: don't follow my life, follow Jesus, or read what the Bible has to say. We all understand why we say those sort of things, but I don't think it is what we call biblical, a biblical principle. But we often say it because we're always very aware of our shortcomings and the poverty of our lives. But I'm not sure it's the right thing to say. And I say that because Paul says the exact opposite at the beginning of this reading that we've just had. He's writing to someone called Timothy, and so he's telling them the sort of life that he's living, the sort of things that are important to him and the character that he's been developed. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that when he was a young child, his parent and his grandmother, they helped him understand the Bible. But it was that first area about the sort of way that Paul was trying to pass on the life that he was living to Timothy. Now, immediately, a lot of us say at this point, I am not Paul. I am not the Apostle Paul. And I'm only just little me. And therefore, I can't do anything of that nature. But what I'm trying to think about this morning for a few minutes is, what sort of influence are we on those people around us? What do they catch of our lives now that we are in Christ or in God that they wouldn't have caught if we hadn't found him yet? Now, I know that this is true because Jesus himself said something similar. He said, "Let your light, what is in you from God, let your light so shine before people that they'll see the sort of person that you are and the sort of good works that you do, and as a result of that, they will give glory to God." So what is happening in our lives has a good influence on those people that we are that are in our orbit. So please don't say, and don't let these words just go over your head this morning, because you think about yourself, I'm a nobody, there's nothing in me that's of importance, I don't know what God's done in my life of any significance. These things are not true. And dear Kevin, you shared so well this morning, and you said you've lost your self-esteem and you've lost your confidence. You've told me that a few times now, and I know it's true. But look at the effect you had on this morning. God sometimes says that out of our weakness, His strength comes forth. That's true. The Lord has set His love upon you. He's not going to take it off. He has gripped you. He's not going to let you go. And you are already being used, and you'll be used mightily alongside Janet. God bless you for it. I came across an article recently which was really written to pastors of churches. And it was really saying that pastors of churches sometimes aren't very good mentors of others, because the people that are around us who we are supposedly mentoring, we treat as dog bodies rather than investing in them. And we give them all the things that we don't want to do so that they can get on with that. We've got a few, I was going to say dog bodies, they're not dog bodies. We've got a few people who are training for the ministry in our church, and they spend a long time alongside the ministers here. And I hope that we are investing in them rather than just passing on things that we don't want to do. And in this article, it had five tips for pastors so they can do better at what they're passing on to other people. Now, most of us here this morning are not pastors, but most of us here have the light of Jesus in us. And I want to give you these five tips to say these are ways that we can do even better in the influence that we show on other people. And then I'm going to spend a bit of time just looking at these words that are spoken about Paul in relation to his friend Timothy. So the five tips then for pastors to do better, or for all of us this morning. The first thing to say is, get over yourself. Realize that you are first of all a servant and not important in your own right. We must tell ourselves daily, it is not about me. It's about Him in me and what can come through me. And number two, stay accessible. People probably value our presence more than anything else. How we can help them is important, but the fact that we are available is key. And then keep it real. We don't have to dress ourselves up, but acknowledge when we have failed, explain how it felt and how we got through it, speak about our struggles and our victories, be transparent. And then number four, pour on the encouragement. Try to mix everything you say with encouragement. And then if the person that you're trying to help asks a question, which most of the time they don't, but if they ask the question, how could I have done that better, then that gives us some access and honesty to say, well, actually, if you'd just perhaps done this, it might have turned out better. But in the midst of all of that, we are pouring on encouragement. You know, that's the last thing that some people ever do. Personally, can't understand it. But unfortunately, it's true. You need to be a great sort of tub of encouragement so you can just tip over other people. It does them a lot of good, you know. And then number five, don't cling to power. Jesus was the Son of God, yet He willingly handed over His authority to His disciples and told them to finish the job. Paul invested his time in Timothy and in a man called Titus and in somebody called Silvanus and somebody called Phoebe and I don't quite know how many others. He invested himself in these people so that they might become even more than they are at the moment. And any of us, in whatever responsibility that we have, we're going to come to an end of that responsibility, or we might pass on. And so we need to be thinking, how can I pass on what I have to somebody else so that they can carry it and do even better? I've got a few more years at this church in terms of the contract that I'm on, and I'm praying that the next person who comes as senior pastor here will have more than I've got to give, so that this church can have more riches from that sort of leadership. Don't cling to power. But I do want to do justice to these verses that we've read this morning. And when it begins by saying, you know about my teaching, you know about my teaching, that's actually not the best translation of the Greek of that verse. The actual word is parakaluthein. And what it really means is this: to follow alongside someone, to closely follow alongside another person. So if we can imagine here that Mark and I are in that sort of relationship, and I'm supposedly trying to help Mark, then parakaluthein says that Mark is following closely alongside me so that as a result of that relationship, there is challenge, there is incentive, and there is encouragement to follow Christ more concretely. This is what Paul is trying to do in relation to Timothy. Now, none of us here are the Apostle Paul, and unlikely to be so. But all of us have measures of different levels of light and trust and power from God. And so there is something in us that we can share with other people. They may not be interested in it a lot of the time, but some people will be. And as they are interested, there's something of that light can come as an encouragement to others. But if we live with the understanding that we are a nothing, we're a nobody, God will never use me, then we're not going to get past square one very quickly. So let me just say something about a handful of the words that Paul uses when he's talking to his friend Timothy. But I do like encouragement and have a sense that I'm talking to you this morning. Anybody with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. You're getting better at that. Well done. Now, first of all, Paul talks about my purpose. My purpose. And clearly, Paul was somebody who had vision and determination. It was unmistakable in him. He knew what he was after. And so consequently, he wanted to allow that to affect other people around him. We're going to sing a hymn shortly. And it's a hymn that lots of you like here. It's In Christ Alone. And there's one little phrase in one of the verses of that hymn which I like. And it's this one. Jesus commands my destiny. Jesus commands my destiny. And whatever age we are in, however long we've been on this sort of journey, wherever we're up to, there is always destiny, which Jesus is commanding. That there is something about you, there's a specialness about you, that Jesus has decided there's a destiny for you. And this is what Paul is trying to convey to Timothy. He's talking about his purpose. He says, this is my purpose. So it might be, for example, that you have a sense of destiny at the moment to get involved with the homeless. I know that's true of some people here. And it's something that God's given you. He's put it in your heart to do. And, you know, you can share that and you can say, you know, I feel I'm called to work amongst the homeless at the moment. Now, that's good. But then let people feel the underlying passion that's carrying that. not just the outworking of the homeless or with children or whatever it might be. Let people catch what the purpose is about, that you're sensing that God's given you that something to do. You see, people will catch that. They'll understand there's something in you that God's given you to do. And it conveys itself to other people. So nobody's unique, nobody's better than anybody else, but God puts that sense of destiny in each one of us. He commands our destiny, however small or big. And then he gives a list of words, which are really Christian qualities. And there are too many words for me to comment on here, so I'm just going to comment on some of them. But first of all, let me tell you about a TV aerial repairman. Because this particular chap, who spent all his day going up onto the roof and repairing people's aerials, he didn't like to think about his work when he got home at the end of the day. Are you like that? You know, you've done your work, and when you get home at the end of the day, you don't really want to think about your work. Some of us have to take work home, but basically, if we can forget about work, that's good. And this man was like that. And so consequently, he didn't really look after his own television aerial very well. In fact, when it was on the roof, you know, it was facing in the wrong direction. And then on one occasion, there was a lot of wind, and the wind broke off one of the parts of the aerial. Now, after this, this man had a next-door neighbour. And the next-door neighbour wanted to put a TV aerial on his roof. And he knew that his neighbour was a man who repaired TV aerials. And so onto the roof he went, and he looked across and saw the way he did it, and so he put it in that direction. And then he noticed that there was a bit sort of, you know, off one of the, I don't know what you call these things, and so he broke that part off his. As disciples, we teach by example, whether we like it or not. People catch what we are. Of course, they catch the word of God, and we can direct them there. That is fundamental. But they also catch us, because we're the only Bible they've got. They're not going to look at it very closely, are they? Can't expect them to, really. But they can see us, and they can relate to us. And so consequently, they can pick up something of what he is like through you and me, remarkably. So Paul talks about a few things here. Let me just talk about these qualities just in closing. First of all, he talks about faith. And faith is really the confidence in God's commands and promises. Faith means that we will trust God to bring about what God wants to bring about. And people see faith in us. People see faith in us, amazingly. You know, when I first started on this road, I'd just started to go to Bible college, and I hadn't been a Christian very long. And I remember somebody saying about me, it was so humbling. They just said, you know, you can just see the faith in him, can't you? I don't know what that was about, but I'm encouraged by it. It was said of somebody who died at 29, he was a great influence on Scotland, actually, Murray McShane. And what it said about Murray McShane was, he made it easy for people to believe in God. Are we like that? Is there something about us that people say, you know, that person's got faith? And then patience. This word patience isn't about the patience with circumstances. It's about patience with people. So it's not rejecting people when they are foolish or when they are irritable towards us or whether they're unteachable. It's a patience that is not human. It's a God-type patience, which he puts into us. Belongs to him. And then love. And this is God's love, accepting people. It's kind and forgiving. And we recognize that the only way that that love is going to be in us is if we've received it from him. so that then we can pass it on to others. And then endurance. This endurance isn't a sort of passive sitting back and just accepting what life might throw at us. This endurance is taking a bad situation and bringing about good out of it, bringing good out of evil circumstances. And then he talks about his persecution and his sufferings. His persecution and his sufferings. At this point, Paul is in another league. I don't know whether you ever looked in certain parts of the New Testament where Paul gives a long list of things that have happened to them, happened to him. It's incredible. Most of us will never get anywhere near that. And at this point, he starts to talk about his persecution and his sufferings because he's a follower of Jesus. That's what happens to us sometimes because we're followers of Jesus. You know, Pam was saying earlier, it's a very easy thing to do to open your life to Christ, and there's a truth in that, but it's the hardest thing in the world to live it. Might be an easy thing to do, but it's the hardest thing to live it. He's going to help us to live it, thank God. And it's not, don't let me put you off from doing it. I just want to give you the biggest picture, because we will hit difficulties, of course we will. But what I find interesting is that Paul mentions three places where he's been persecuted, and the places that he mentions are the places where Timothy was brought up. And it's as though Paul's trying to say to Timothy, he may well have been there when it was happening to Paul. He may well have watched these things happening to him. And as a result of that, Paul became another person who could help him in his walk. Where were these places? There was, first of all, Antioch. And in Antioch, it says Paul was thrown out of the city. And then, go on, press the button. It's Iconium. And Iconium, it says he was taken away before he was lynched. And then the final place, at Lystra, it says he was stoned, but he wasn't killed. I mean, that's incredible stuff, isn't it? We're not likely to go through that stuff. Although, I don't know whether you noticed, but in the reading after this, it said that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It will vary from person to person. It might be people who've been really nasty to us at work. It might be just people know that we're followers of Jesus and they make a big issue of it and humiliate us in a work context or a family context. It comes in a variety of different things. But for those of us who have decided to live a godly life, which is really the Christian life, in Christ Jesus, we will be persecuted. Not like Paul, but we're likely to be persecuted. You know what Paul says? He says, but God delivered me from all of them. He got through them. So what am I saying this morning? The last thing I'm saying is, I think we ought to be holier than thou. And in our piety, look down on all these minions who are not like us. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying there must be sufficient light in us, because you've named the name of Jesus, that light now is bringing light in dark places and touching individuals, those individuals that we spend most time with. You see, we're living a different lifestyle, so that maybe in the work context, where nobody ever asks for forgiveness, you as the Christian say, I'm sorry about that. People don't say that sort of stuff. Just acknowledging that you've done wrong, I'm sorry about that, goes a long way. Or it might be that we think we're not hitting where we want to hit, because we never do, but we're hitting somewhere a bit higher. People don't do those sort of things. They just let life go from one day to the next and aren't too bothered about their characters often. So the wonderful thing is that you can be a really good influence on those people that are around you. You can be. because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. He wasn't in us once, but he's now in us. Jesus is in us. Don't understand it, can't explain it, but know it's true. He's in us. And something of him starts to speak through us and love through us and be patient through us, be kind through us, to be encouraging through us. It's him. And so we work alongside others and they catch something of who we are, both Christians and non-Christians.